Okay, 2 minutes after, I'm going to go and start with our opening meeting matter. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Anyone?
You can't be heard.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so today's agenda, we're going to have the typical boilerplate opening bits. And the bulk of the conversation is going to be about the COVID creds initiative. I know a lot of people have heard about that, and I certainly am one who has questions about what's going on. I'm excited to see the technology being applied, and it'll be interesting to see what problems and opportunities folks are dealing with. So this is a public call. Everything said here is covered under the CCG Collaborators Agreement. But only if you've signed that collaborators agreement or contributors agreement. So if you have not joined the CCG formally, please do so, first of all. It's free. It's easy. But if you haven't and for some reason can't in the near term, then by all means, just be careful about the we'd like to limit the comments to I don't know how to say it. Once you flip it around, it sounds crazy. We have to be careful about substantive technical contributions from non-members. Let me put it that way. But we do welcome use cases and questions and comments from the public. Second up, we use IRC to keep track of the call, both to manage the queue and to take notes. So please add yourself with a present plus so you can show up as an attendee in the records. And you can use Q plus to put yourself on the queue and Q minus to take yourself off the queue. And there's some notes about how to do that in our agenda that we send out. With that, we do need a scribe who will take notes in that IRC channel just by typing up what people say. And since we're seeing it in real time, we can all help and assist that process. So it's not too onerous, but it does help if you've been here before to know some of the jargon and some of the names. So we're looking for a scribe volunteer. Feel free to put your name in the chat because you'd love to do it. And with that, I'll go over to our scribe list. See if we can use that mechanism to motivate some folks.
Sure.
Yeah, so super minor, but like it would be really helpful to me. I don't know if I told you, but one of my
someone needs to mute that background chatter.
Accelerator program, startup accelerator program run by IBM and Columbia University.
Okay. All right. I believe somebody may have muted their speakers and not their microphone.
There's a cash prize at the end for the best pitch.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like beef up my pitch for when we present on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, would you like be okay signing an MOU for Tecanu if it makes sense about like document collection and management? It's not legally binding. I just want to say I have another MOU for the pitch. Oh, okay, cool. So I'll send it over. Let me know what you think. But again, it's not legally binding. It's like
is this covered under the IPR, Joe?
Nice.
I don't think it is. Curiously,
it definitely isn't. I'm curious to see what happens, though.
Your secrets are belong to us, whoever that is. Thank you for the entertainment. Okay, if it happens again, we'll try and we might need to try and meet that person. Okay, but we're still looking for a scribe, so that was a little bit of outtake entertainment. I see Jeff Orgel on the list, Moses Ma, Troy, Rhonda. If any of you are here and can scribe today, please speak up. Gabe Cohen, Samita Jonak, not seeing her here. Tal Ted. I haven't seen Tal Ted in a while. Ken Ebert. Not seeing Ken here. Heather Vessence. Are you around, Heather? Mm-hmm. Could you scribe? Not available. Okay. Amy Guy. Are you with us today? Okay, next up on that list is, oh, I see Gurvinder. Does he want to scribe, Gurvinder? Go ahead.
No,
did you have a question?
Not what that's not what I intended in adding myself to the queue. I'm not so familiar with this interface.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, hey,
oh,
Kelly,
hey.
Thank
Kelly,
you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. And would you like to record a last name, Kelly, or remain just as the eponymous Kelly? Cooper. Okay, great. We'd just like to give credit in our list so you won't come up for a while. We appreciate that. Okay, excellent. Next up is introductions and reintroductions. Is there someone here, anyone here who's new, first time on the call? First time caller, long time listener?
Yeah. Yes, I'm new.
Hi, this. Sorry. This is the WCC weekly meeting, just to clarify.
That's correct. This is the credentials community group of the W3C.
Yes. So a bunch of us were working with the COVID-19 credential initiative. So we're invited to join the call, knowing that there's a kind of 30-minute update. You guys wanted to just hear about what we're working on. So there are a bunch of us like who are new to this call.
Okay.
So I'm Lucy. I work on the coordination and communication stream, and a bunch of like my colleagues were also from the initiative. Probably they want to introduce themselves.
Okay, great. Thank you. And that was that Lucy Yang?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. I heard a couple other voices chime in.
Yeah, this was Eric Scheel. I'm new to this call as well. I'm an open blockchain guy interested in open credentials on top of blockchains.
Could you repeat your name, please?
Eric Scheel.
Excellent. Thank you and welcome, Eric.
Thanks.
I think I heard one more.
Yep. Go ahead.
I'm Julian. I'm with Siren Credentials. I work with engineering, and I need to be called because I'm taking over.
Okay, thank you, and welcome. Next, I think there was at least one more.
Yeah, my name is Kevin Polson. I was invited to the call through the COVID Defender project. I'm not a stranger to the group. I've been monitoring your activities for quite a while, and I have had some discussions with group members about digital signatures. But today I'm here about the COVID Defender.
Excellent. Glad you could join us. Okay, anyone else who might be new? Okay, well, thank you all for introducing yourself. As part of that, we like to at least pick one person to introduce back to you. And I saw Jonathan Holt. You have volunteered to do reintroduction, so go ahead. Tell us about your new gig.
Yeah, so I am a triple board certified physician. I'm an internist, a geneticist, and a clinical informaticist. For the last 3 years, I've participated really as an invited expert to the working groups. I have my own company called Transcendex, and I was the creator of the IPID DID method, but I was recently recruited to be the CMIO, the Chief Medical Informatics Officer for Consensus Health.
Very cool. Welcome, John. Jonathan, Johnny, I don't know what you want to go by. There are identity issues here, John.
Exactly right, yeah. And so I think, Jonathan, Dr. Holt is too formal, and I don't know that Johnny guy.
Yeah, okay, great. All right, next up is announcements and reminders. And if you have an announcement, feel free to hop on the queue. We'll give you some space. So we keep track of that over here. And the only upcoming events we have are, so IAW is next week. Is it next week? Is that right? Kalia, I think I saw you here.
Yes, it is next week.
Great. Tell us what we're doing next week for those of us who are joining you.
Yeah, so next week we're going to host the Internet Identity Workshop virtually. We begin with our grand opening circle, just like we do in real life. We're going to start at 8 a.m. Pacific time, and then we're going to co-create the agenda live that morning. We're in an infrastructure, a supportive online infrastructure called Kiko Chat that has breakout rooms just like we do in real life. We're going to have demo hours just like we do at IAW. So I think it's fortuitous with all of the activity going on around how to address COVID-19 in user-centric, empowering ways that all these different communities working on that challenge could use forum to move the ball forward on all this work next week. And we're committed to accessibility. So we have a range of prices. It does cost us something to actually run this virtually. But anyways, you can go see on the website. I'll put a link to the registration in the chat, but we really welcome everybody to join us and do what we always do there, which is collaborate and move the industry forward.
Excellent. Thank you, Kalia. I'm looking forward to it. So, Gervinda, I tried to acknowledge you before, so I think you're not really on the queue, but if you are, we can give you an opportunity. Did you want to say something? I think that was from before.
Yeah, that was from before. I'm sorry, I might have missed a soundbite. Are you looking for introductions, or are you looking for an update from the work streams in CCI?
Oh, either. If we miss you during introductions, then please introduce yourself. Sorry about that.
Okay, sure, I'll be. So I'm the founder and CEO of a company called Digital Twin Labs, which is a consulting services firm for blockchain-driven and other frontier technologies. Previously, I was the CTO for IBM's blockchain, IoT, and cloud unit covering North America. So I've got a long enterprise kind of history on the blockchain side. I've been with some of the W3C members on the roster during, you know, forums and talks at MIT Media Labs previously, but I've been focused on other things in the last probably a couple of years. So happy to get back into the stream over here. Just cue me in whenever you want an update on the CCI use case work stream. I'm one of the co-leads, which is how I got pulled into this call.
Excellent. Thank you for introducing yourself, Gervinder. Appreciate it. Okay, I think we had Adrian on the queue. Go ahead, Adrian.
Yeah, this is an announcement. I put a link to a one-page, a very short one-page summary. We are, you know, my group is making an effort to demonstrate how people would issue immunity passports if they knew how to issue immunity passports. In other words, if the technology were really in place, which it is not yet. And it's a missing piece of the credentials process because the infrastructure to sort of allow these things to interoperate and create a network effect probably needs to be done locally at the level of a big employer or a town. It's not going to converge at the level of a nation anytime soon. And people should just contact me directly. Everybody knows how to find me. And maybe more of this will be talked about at IAW next week.
Great. Can I ask your name again? That was Adrian Gropper, Gropper.
Got it. Thanks.
Okay, next up is a quick review of our action items. We just have one, which is a new work item proposal. Item 114, I'm going to get the URL as soon as that opens up.
I think GitHub has some issues at the moment, so it's really also open the pages.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
I think GitHub has problems, like they've got some server issues, so it's really hard to open a GitHub page at this moment.
Okay, I did notice that in one of the other calls. I was able to, I got the list of issues came up, but not the individual issue, so GitHub may be struggling right now. It's some Ori, that's, you're saying crazy things. Those words don't go together in that order, not in English. Gateway timeout. We may not have an opportunity to review this. So this was proposed by Anthony. Anthony, running, are you on the call?
Yeah, I'm here. I haven't pulled up, if you want me at least.
Yeah, if you could introduce the concept, that would be great.
Yeah. For sure. I emailed it out to the CCG a little while back, but this specification pretty much describes blockchain links, aka Blinks, as a method of referencing blockchain-based data such as transaction and block. So, basically former methods of pulling up a blockchain and referencing blockchain data has been very JSON-based. And this approach is basically going with a sort of URI approach to referencing blockchains and transaction data. And right now the listed owners are myself and Manu.
Okay, cool. Manu, are you on the call? You want to speak to this work item? Manu might actually not be on the call. Okay, well, I want to open this for any comments or feedback or suggestions from folks. So just hop on the queue. Okay, I see Marcus. For the most part, this looks pretty good. It meets the requirement around editors, and it's a formal proposal that is within our wheelhouse. But let's... Kalia, was yours related to this?
No.
Okay. Would you rather do yours and then come back, or do yours later?
I'll just say it. I'm typing it now. There is a new paper out by Harvard specifically that this morning on the ethical responses to COVID, and it mentions verifiable credentials. So I just wanted to share it with the community.
Okay, very cool. Thank you. I will be clicking and reading through that. Okay, then I think Marcus, I saw you on the queue.
I just wanted to say I think this is a very interesting proposal. There seems to be some useful synergies also with the work on bids, concepts that look similar to bid methods and ideas on how to point to to those specific places on a ledger. So those are similar topics that have been explored at least in the blockchain or ledger-based deed space. So all of that to say, I think it's a very, very useful specification and work item, and I would totally support that.
Great. Thank you, Marcus. Christopher, you're on the queue.
Yes, I just wanted to quickly say that I hope that the team will look at the TXREF and the Bash32 encoding that we're using for EPCR DIDs. It basically, has a, blockchain block transaction, but also index within the transaction, because transactions can have multiple parts. As an example, I'm not saying use that standard, but being that it's already been vetted through some review and the encoding is both error correcting and error detecting, so it won't just tell you what's wrong, it will tell you where in the encoding is an error. That could be very useful for you guys. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Anyone else? So I believe this meets our requirements for approving this as a work item. Any of the other chairs, Kim or Chris, you guys have, you think that's right?
Yeah, it definitely does. So I think we have either added in a comment, I'm not online right now, but either add in a comment or add a label saying it's approved, and then we'll follow up with it next time we meet.
Okay, and I see a plus one from Chris.
We being the chairs, yeah.
Right. Okay, so this looks good. So we'll take it from here. And, well, we have a repo, or we need to create one? Is that next?
I don't think this had a repo, so we'll need to create one in all of the other setup.
Okay, great. So that's on us.
Yeah, that's correct. I can help transfer over the repo too if needed.
Oh, okay. Yes, let's go that path. Anthony, can you ping us and we'll follow up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
cool. Awesome. We have a new work item, and it seems pretty interesting. All right, so that was our only action item for today. Moves us into the main topic of the day, and I know we have several guests. I think, Drummond, are you going to be the master of ceremonies and for us?
Well,
or would you like someone else to lead?
I don't know if Master of Ceremonies, but I'm happy to do an initial introduction, but Lucy and the group that's here is, I think, the ones you want to hear from. Just very generally, I think many folks may be aware that, once the COVID situation really became as serious as it is for all of us now, and lockdowns were imposed, I call it sort of the spontaneous generation throughout the SSI community of recognition that the digital credentials that many of us have been working on for the last couple of years and for which this interest group is named at the W3C were a important component of what could address these the challenges and not one specific but many different challenges in the group. I think we'll talk about that. So a big thanks to Tony Rose. I don't know if he's here on the call today. He was one of the folks in the community that helped get this going and just really got a bunch of people energized and started this really, really very, sort of community organized initiative, which has now turned into the COVID credentials initiative. So I just wanted to provide the sort of general background. I am involved with one of the work streams, help convene the rules and governance work stream, but there are four of them. And one of those work streams, coordination and communications, Lucy is one of the leaders of. And so I'll turn the ball over to Lucy and the rest of the team who can explain what's going on and answer questions.
Excellent. Thanks, Drummond. Go ahead, Lucy.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Drummond. So I have four colleagues with me today. So we, under the initiative, we have four work streams, which are working on different pieces of the initiative. And so today we're going to go with a brief update from each work stream, what we've achieved, and also, of course, starting with the mission and scope of the work we're working on. And then and each of the work streams will talk about like what the major progress we're going to make so far and some of the top priorities we're working on for the upcoming 3 weeks and any thoughts and regarding any kind of collaboration like with W3C where, kind of supported how we can work together. And after that, we'd love to hear like, your thoughts and any questions about that. So I just want to make sure all my colleagues are here. Taylor, Chris, Michael, and Drummond. Yeah, Drummond is here. Taylor, are you ready to start?
Yeah, sure.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lucy. Yeah, Taylor Kendall here, and I'm sort of a sporadic participant in this call, so I don't know everybody, but good to
hear from a lot of familiar folks. Yeah, I'm with the group called Learning Economy. We do a lot of sort of broader ecosystem and infrastructure work around education and employment. So when this came about, wanted to kind of throw our hat in the ring as a support mechanism. So I've been helping Lucy and others sort of help with just the coordination side, both sort of internal and external facing. So part of that, I'll give just a quick high level on sort of where we're at just as far as coordination. The sort of broad overarching, I guess, mission, which Drummond sort of touched on, really is just to promote and legitimize, you know, SSI, digital identity, certainly VCs as well, as a way to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 and really also sort of reboot public trust. I think that's another piece of this. And it's funny, a lot of this also started, some of us were on an AMA that Bill Gates did. And as part of that AMA, he mentioned that he saw, you know, an eventual time where there would be some sort of digital certificate to show who has received a test and either recovered or eventually potentially has a vaccine and who hasn't. So he sort of seeded this idea of you know, digital certificates and digital identity being important in this. So and then it's funny, a day later, as the internet is known to do, we had just this complete spread of sort of conspiracy theories and misinformation, and there's still a lot out there as to say Bill Gates was actually promoting the use of microchip implants to fight the coronavirus. That came directly from that AMA, which he didn't speak to at all in that sort of sense. He was really just legitimizing the idea of a digital certificate. So all that to say, I think our hope is to both you know, promote the use of some of this new technology, but also help with sort of the sort of tamper the spread of misinformation as well. So, you know, our scope is really around that. There are obviously a lot of local and sector-specific solutions coming about, and our aim is to certainly not compete, but really support, you know, those efforts and bring sort of the lens of VCs, you know, DIDs, and sort of the broader range of just digital identity technology to those existing efforts. And currently there are roughly 200 or so, probably more than that, contributors at this point, volunteering across sort of four core work streams, 60 plus organizations that are sort of a part of the initiative. And then, yeah, we'll kind of touch on each of the other three work streams. But again, my focus has really been just supporting the coordination. So with that, that's sort of a high level. I think maybe Gurvinder, if you'd want to jump in next and chat specific to the next one.
Sure. Thanks, Gurvinder Ahluwalia. So I got engaged into the use case work stream for the CCI work. We are organized, I think about 70 people jumped in, that might be the latest count or something around there. Excuse me. And we have a call, about 40 people show up on each call. And within the group, we came to a quick realization that there are some subgroups needed to be organized, and there's three subgroups that we so far organized into the use case group. One is on healthcare, and I think that's an umbrella specialty which we need across the entire CCI initiative, healthcare specialty experts. The other is SSI experts, and the third is a subgroup on kind of value and a little bit of the go-to-market, also some thinking around how to meet regulatory kind of requirements and policy updates. Without making it too bulky, I think once we are able to identify where the adoption will happen, then we can calibrate the regulatory and policy and value requirements for those early adopters of the output of the work. Let me just switch to kind of the content of the use cases. I think there was sort of a you know, early start to the hypotheses on a certain set of use cases, and when the group went through some prioritization, we kind of narrowed it down to prioritize about two to three use cases. So one use case is on creating and maintaining local web of trust. The second use case, which is called, you know, use case number zero, if anybody wants to track to the index, we are using. The other is really use case 2 and 3, which we combine, and it's called proof of immunity by exposure and vaccine. There are leads from within the community that are helping in each of those use cases. And the third one, which has come up on the table, is dedicated user verifier use case. So that's pretty much it. I'll give it back to who do we hand it over to next? Lucy, back to you.
The next one, Michael, you're on the line to briefly talk about the tools and technologies working with.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Yes, I am on the line. Yeah. So Michael Corning, I'm the co-lead with Paul Knowles on the tools team. We have about, let's see, right now we have 130 people that are working in this area. We have so far focused on the geopolitical level of the technology and the tools, where we had the VZ data model camp on the one hand, and then we had the OCA camp on the other. So we have the trust part of the equation and the data capture part of the equation. For the dumbest guy in the room like me, that was new stuff. The OCA stuff was new. So one of my challenges, and I probably share this with a lot of my colleagues, is that a lot of this new technology we don't even know about because we've been focused on a very specialized part of SSI. So the first task was to, as I said, understand the technology at the geopolitical level. We're moving down the food chain to the next level would be the vendors and the tools and technologies that are available to guys like me who are boots on the ground. I have my own use case, which it's my use case, so it doesn't really have to have the approval of the rest of the group. But its goal is to, because I'm implementing this here in a little town in Oregon, Sisters, Oregon, has 2,038 people in it. And I want to restart the Sisters economy without restarting the pandemic here. So my goal is to make sure that we know how much risk any individual has when they're in a particular economic circumstance. So that's a specialized version of this, but it's also really practical. And so a lot of the conceptual stuff that we talk about on the tools team is interesting and will be useful in the future, but the priority's got to be, especially if people start reopening the economy a little too soon, we have to have the data in place, the data management stuff in place, so that people can act economically, make economic decisions that are rational instead of emotional. So the mission of the tools team is to actually be that last 10 feet. So all the other work streams are going to do their thing, and then groups of us will be out there on the field trying to implement this. One of the two interesting approaches that at least I'm working on is that I think the notes here are not quite right. It says dedicated, verified use case. Govinder, were you saying delegated use case or verifier and issuer? I think that's what Govinder was meaning anyway. The delegated verifier and issuer are individual.
That's correct, Michael. Sorry to interrupt. That's right, delegated issuer verifier.
Right, okay. So delegated, we're going to use the guardianship and delegation credentials that Evernim and Daniel Hardman have worked really hard on. I was also on the guardianship working group. So we're going to use those technologies to establish a way to have public health authorities like the Deschutes County Health Department. They should be able to delegate the credential issuance to third parties, and then those test results are turned directly into credentials and given to the person who got the test on a digital wallet, and they can use that wallet to go, in our case, to go back to work or to start transacting business again by sharing the record of test results that they've had. So it's a very, very powerful, exciting problem, and it's not going to be a one-off. Once we get this part done, then we'll be much better prepared for the next pandemic, which will certainly, now everybody agrees, will come after this one. Okay, that's it.
Just before jumping to the next update on the rules and governance, I just wanted to briefly mention here that the tools and technology workstream, that's where we see a lot of financial work doing together with W3C. Like earlier today, we just had a conversation with Decentralized Identity Foundation to discuss this and also at WCC, like on the in terms of the tools and technologies, is there something that we want to kind of do together, and how we want to restructure like how we work together? So I think my colleague John Walker, who's also here, we can discuss a little bit further like after like Drummond gives his update, but just want to make a comment here.
Great. Okay, so who's next, Kelly? I'm sorry, Lucy.
Drummond?
Sure.
I think Drummond. Thank you.
And ironically, Kelly is actually one of the leads, so I'm going to stop and say, Kelly, I don't know if you want to speak to rules or you want me to.
I think we're going to have you, Drummond, because I can't type and talk, but make sure to mention the four GOs, GO co-leads. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if you want to mention the I'll provide a high-level introduction, but then I want you to do that, and I'm happy to describe while you do that.
No, go ahead.
So,
it's okay.
Again, I just – okay. So with any credential solution, folks are probably tired of me always saying, hey, the flip side of the technology is the governance. I think there was an overwhelming feeling that the number one goal of this initiative was interoperable verifiable credentials for these different COVID use cases. And one of the primary tools for doing that is your rules, your governance framework. So that's the third work stream. And that group, again, has self-organized. It's co-led by Kelly Cooper here, who's taking notes with us, and Chris Raskowski. I know both of them through the volunteers on the Sovereign Governance Framework Working Group at the Sovereign Foundation. And I think at this point there are about 40 volunteers for that. I keep seeing new folks joining the mailing list a couple a day. And they've been holding meetings, I think a couple meetings so far. An early version, basically an outline of a first start on the governance framework, the master document of the governance framework, purpose, principles, and core policies is already underway. And, of course, it has to be closely coordinated with the use cases that as they come down the queue. And then, of course, any policy decisions relative to the tools and the usage. One of the early emphasis has been, as you heard, how do you trust the issuers? And so it's going to be one of the first governance frameworks where that is going to be explicitly in scope. How do issuers be part of a trust community and use something like a trust list, a member directory, credential registry, all these terms are used. And how can those be sort of both bottom up is what we're thinking is going to happen early on, but top down as different jurisdictions say, hey, we want to actually establish that within our jurisdiction. So work from both sides. So all of those are considerations. One of the things that Chris and Kelly have really emphasized is because it does involve jurisdictions all around the world, actually, you know, consuming verifiers everywhere that and issuers everywhere for these credentials, holders everywhere, to have this be a very internationally represented group. So, Kelly, if you want to speak to that, I will try and take notes here while you do that.
One of the things that we decided to do was within the group to set up GEO co-leads and representatives of each of the continents. And so we do have four at this time, and we're quite pleased with the group that we have. We're missing an element, which is, or an area, which is from South America, and we have leads on two or three people from that area. One of the other things that we're doing is taking a look at who the readers of the CGF or a credential governance framework will be, and we believe due to what we're seeing come out of the use case groups and some of the questions that are going to the communications group that this document needs to be readable to a broader audience. When the SGF first came out, we were thinking that it would be developers and governance people, compliance people who had an interest in SSI. And yet what we're seeing is that it's going to be medical care professionals, it's going to be transnational government, INGO, et cetera, officials who may have English as a second language. And that's the reason that we have also generated some user stories, just simple user stories to remind everyone in the group that as we create right now the initial SGF and going afterwards, or the CGF and going afterwards into controlled documents that would be credential specific, we need to make sure that all of our work is readable by a broad audience. And so our plan is to keep each of our documents simple with links to clarifying documents or more detailed regulatory documents so that we can support and scale the various use cases that are coming out from the use case group, and also to address the variety of ideas for implementation coming from the tools group. Okay, Drummond, thanks. That's all.
I'm not sure I was able to capture all that as fast as you were going.
That's okay. I can add a few.
Good. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, please do that. So anyway, a quick summary of rules and governance, what that work stream is about, and did we cover all the work streams? Is there one more?
Yeah, so we cover all the work streams. I would like to invite my colleague John Walker. John, are you on the line to probably give us a kind of brief kind of overview of what our discussions with this today, and that's how like probably we want to work with the facility moving forward as well.
Yeah, thanks, Lucy. Just joining by phone. So from the coordination and communications workstream, Kalia reached out to us and wanted to have us be certain that we're including all the different existing, obviously, organizations, including this CCG group and members from DIF, obviously the Evernum and Sovereign folks, and be certain that as we're self-organizing, that in fact we're taking advantage and leveraging the initiatives. So to that end, our team with Taylor will be trying to assemble a meeting where we can make sure that we've got visibility from all the right players and organizations, standards organizations, as well as technologists to feed into the different work streams and basically leverage expertise in the work streams. So that's really it. Just trying to be certain where we have visibility and we're reaching out to all the right folks.
Cool. Thank you, John. I think we can take some questions from the group regarding, you know, like our initiative and how we can, you know, potentially work together, like collaborate with W3C.
Okay, great. We've got a few people on the queue. Christopher, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you. So I had two things I wanted to share. First is that I've been collecting information and resources around location privacy and immunity privacy and things of that nature. And I encourage if people have links of, especially your group, you know, have links to specific proposals and specific information that you know, let me know so I can add it to this list. There are a lot of people that are doing it. I'm pasting it right now. So this is the one on immunity credentials, in particular in relationship to verifiable claims. And I've also got another one for those people who are dealing on the location privacy side of things. The second thing is, you know, I didn't hear from your work items that there was a, you know, some work on the, you know, issues of a risk model, threat analysis, adversarial analysis, and things of that nature. I've been working on I have a rough draft if people are interested in working with me on one, but it's a lot of work to do it right. And there's a lot of important things in the ethics, in law, in technology problems. I will particularly note that, you know, everything that's in the privacy considerations of verifiable credentials is a starting point for threats, but then that doesn't even, you know, that's maybe 20% of the problem, because these are unique in that, you know, in our work in this community, mostly we've been thinking about threats sort of between the issuer and the subject. But in this case, the issuer, the subject, and the verifiers are all kind of potentially overwhelmed by the public good and for the potential harm. So, you know, it's a much bigger problem. And there is actually a lot of interesting history here of what went wrong in things like yellow fever and Ebola and HIV, et cetera. And I'm just not seeing our communities, you know, drive this risk model forward. And I'm hoping that, you know, with 60 plus companies involved with your group, that, you know, you can, you know, share your part. So thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. If you would like to respond, go ahead and hop on the queue. Since we only have 12 minutes left, we'll use the queue to give everyone a chance to ask their questions or get their comments in. So, Kim, you're next.
Sorry, unmute button problems. So yeah, I just wanted to mention this is really important work, and you know, one thing that is confusing. So it's a new organization, and every time we add a new organization without IP agreements in place, it tends to distract from getting important work done. So I know that it bothers all of us to have to deal with that sort of, you know, labor of signing IP agreements. And there was recently huge effort to have joint discussions, to allow joint discussions between GIT and CCG to talk about storage. Similarly, there's currently efforts underway, more so in DIF. There's a DIF work stream focusing on COVID, but there are also some COVID credentials, which I think Ori's on the queue to talk about, in CCG as well. I was just, I imagine that the question may not be reachable, the answer may not be reachable on this call, but I wanted to bring that up and just emphasize the importance of talking about IP protection just for everyone involved so that they can contribute comfortably and not have to worry about all of those issues. That's it for me.
Great. Thanks, Kim. Moses, you're next.
Hi, everybody. My name is Moses. I'm from a company called Future Lab. We're doing one of the consortium plays. It's called COVID Defender. One area that's really interesting is we have a bunch of PhDs in predictive analytics and AI, and we're working on logistics optimization for socioeconomic reactivation. That means how to, you know, smooth that out. Anyway, my biggest question for the group is, what is your time to market for your deliverables? And because it's kind of a fast-moving situation, and it'd be great to know if your work product are papers or running code, and when shipping code will be released by the group. Thanks.
A great question. Okay, Ori, you're next. Please feel free to jump on the queue if you want to answer some of these questions folks have raised. Go ahead, Ori.
Yeah, so I'm participating in CCI through the tools work stream. I'm a member of the Decentralized Identity Foundation and a member of the W3C, work on the DIDCore specification and use the verifiable credentials data model. I have some links to share with the community around work that has already happened within CCG under CCG, you know, protection, and then some work that's happened within the DIF regarding, like, you know, basic demos for using these interoperable standards that we've worked with our community. And I just want to mention that, you know, when it comes to designing specific credential formats, it's very important that we do that work in a group that has the proper IPR protection, so that, you know, member companies are comfortable with the credential format, the details of how it was constructed, and in particular that there isn't some, you know, submarine-related, IP-related issues for that potential format. So, and also just because if you don't provide an example of the exact credential format with working usable material for other implementers to follow, you can't really get interoperability outside of the format that you've created. So if you have a credential format that you're exploring and you're writing tests around, I encourage you to contribute to the VC examples repo, assuming that you've signed the CCG contributor agreements. And I think that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ori. Next up is Jonathan Holt.
Yeah, I think I just echo I think what Ori and Kim had said, which is that this I'm naive to the IPR protections, but I've been schooled since I've been joined as a member organization under consensus. And I think I don't hear that in the CCI that actually there is this consideration. And I'm still naive as far as what the implications of certain codes are for like ICD-9, ICD-10, SNOMED type of codes, which are copyrighted codes, and how to really have transparency. So, and I think the other example would be the overlay capture architecture that Paul Knowles had presented. And like, is that being contributed to the W3C? And having some transparency over that would be great.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jonathan. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone on the queue. Is anyone from the COVID creds group want to respond to some of those questions?
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't know how to join. Join in, please, for whoever.
Someone had spoken up.
Please
go ahead.
So if you want to go first. Okay, so it's to kind of answer the question about timing. Again, I'm a real practical guy, so I'm going to be using all the software that I can that's available now. StreetCred is one of the companies that's in the CCI, and they have offered their technology for free to anybody who's working on this problem. So I've got 15 months of experience with the Evernym code, but I needed something I could actually get on the street today. So I can issue credentials from the portal, and the biggest problem for me is connecting my ability to write to the sovereign ledger to the health department or whoever is holding the test results. So that's one challenge that we have immediately. The other one is how we're going to actually validate that code out on the street. That's going to be a little trickier, and I don't know exactly how much time it's going to take to make that happen. There are all kinds of different options that we have for implementing it on the street. We have QR codes, for example, which are nice and portable, and you can actually include the people that don't have phones with that. There are smart cards that we could build. I talked to a former city council member here, Bisters, the other day about that. And he gave me one piece of advice, don't go to the government until you absolutely have to. But when we at the place where we want to make this ability to share our safety with everybody else, then having a smart card in your wallet would probably be the most convenient way to do it. So everybody has you can assume that everybody has a smartphone today, so I think one of the side effects of this virus is going to be that people will also have another device on their person at all times that is able to transmit this kind of information in this very specialized context. So it kind of does the smart card of immunity kind of technology. But anyway, the timing is urgent, and so we're going to be doing this yesterday. Whether it's perfect on our first attempt or not is an open question. And I'm going to leave it to, by the way, I must add a lot of interesting comments I've been hearing this morning where even though I'm urgent, my urgency gets me on the street right away, I have to be aware at least in the beginning of these details that you guys are mentioning so that we can, in a rational, systematic way, suck less tomorrow. So So that would be an important contribution that you guys can make to our initiative.
Okay, great. Any other responses? I did have an item I put myself on the queue for. Now if I can only remember it. I wanted to say, I guess when I ACME, I'll get it. You mentioned something just then about assuming everyone has a smartphone. And I want to encourage you to think about those use cases for the probably billions of people who do not have cell phones, because our technologies can help them. Especially, I know that a lot of the work that has been done around stewards and guardians hopefully should help us deal with those use cases. So I think there's an opportunity to figure out what do you do for those who don't have smartphones. Maybe someone near them has a smartphone, et cetera. But definitely want to make sure we open our possibilities to that whole scope of basically everyone on the planet.
And I just underscore one thing with this economy thing. What we're trying to do is get everybody who's already been tested, because getting tested is a problem. We're trying to get the 2 million people that are already tested, or at least we know what their status is, get that stuff into electronic form. And so, yes, it's the low-hanging fruit first, but we were always going to be looking down the road to making sure everybody on the planet can participate.
Okay, great.
I want to make a few comments to some
Please
of the questions.
Do.
I think one of the things, like you just mentioned about inclusion, also what Chris just mentioned about privacy and some other important issues. And I think we probably didn't mention, like in our update, that we actually have a dedicated subgroup working on inclusion, privacy, data protection, data security, protection, all kind of important issues. And also they have each a person assigned to each work stream to make sure the practice of each work stream is, you know, considering all those important issues. Sorry that we didn't mention that, but we do have a dedicated subgroup to that. And another thing regarding IP, I'm not on the technical side, but I know that someone already brought up internally CCI, so that's also like a part of we want to hear your feedback and also I think learn from what the WCC and the GIF are doing. That's like an area of the kind of collaboration working together for us.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, we are 1 minute out from the top of the hour, so last chance for anyone to get on the queue. I'm not seeing. So thank you for everyone from COVID Creds Initiative who came and helped us out, Drummond and Lucy and Taylor and Gravinder, and I apologize if I left off someone's name, Taylor. Did I mention Taylor? Anyway, thank you all. We appreciate the rundown on what you guys are doing. It sounds like great work, and I wish you all the best success. How do we contact all the COVID Cred people on the call? That's a great question. Is the URL covidcreds.com the best place to get in touch, or is there an alternative?
Let me just quickly put down my email so that I put down my email here, and also there's a contact form on the COVID website you can use.
Okay, great. Thank you, Lucy. All right, and that's a wrap. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.